The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 526. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
And Brian Monjoma.
What's up?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one. You may have noticed, there's some people missing, bruh. So I'll go in order. As you know, Brett
budget cuts.
Those came after us. You know, they got rid of the people that were just sitting around doing nothing, you know?
Exactly.
Fucking Elon, man. So yeah, as you know, Brett is recovering. He's still doing well. He's playing some game called Enshrouded, it looks like. I always see him on Steam playing that. I don't know what this game is. Brian, I'm looking at you. You may have heard of that game.
Sounds familiar, but I can't recall it.
Yeah, probably a Brett game. Manny, if you're talking, you're muted.
It's an open world game where you sort of build. It's like if you had Minecraft but with better graphics.
Oh, interesting.
A buddy of mine actually plays it too.
Okay, that's cool. So yeah,
pretty cool.
Brett's recovering. Chris also needs to recover. He had a hard day at work, and he needs to. I think it was in San Antonio or some shit. I guess he was doing a work trip.
Wow.
Rich is at GDC, you know,
GDC.
So he's he'll regale us with some stories when he's back. And Eurocar 9 is in Euro right now. He's a European trip,
right.
You know, he's Mr. Carlos. So he's in Spain. He's been having fun. He says that, you know, he's not having any problems in the, you know, speaking with the people over there, despite their crazy language, you know, their crazy. Like fucking Mike Tyson and shit, you know, just in Spanish. So you got us four, you know. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. All right, man. So let's get into. Oh, what was that, Manny? I saw that figure. Oh,
it's whoa. David. Is David Martinez?
Hey, gringo.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Who made that figure?
Who makes it? Yeah, who
made it? It's made by Jada Toys. They also got They also got Lucy.
She's gonna be in Guilty Gear, you know.
Nice.
David Martinez.
No, Lucy. She's gonna be in Guilty Gear. That's kind of cool.
She's a cool character. Yeah, she's got like these cool like whip strings that come out of her hands.
Yeah, this is how you know Adam and I are toy guys. What company makes that?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to know what's the company? Height.
Oh yeah. No, it's six-inch. Or? Jada Toys is they're like the new hotness right now. They've so far done most of the World Warriors from Street Fighter 2.
Oh, nice.
And they're all scaled to Marvel Legends and G.I. Joe Classified. I don't have any.
What about the articulation? They're good?
Good with the articulation? They have arm joints and all kinds of stuff.
So the last question is, why do you keep secrets? Why are you keeping secrets?
Why do you keep secrets?
I don't get any message. Yo, check this shit out.
I didn't know you watched the Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
No, man, I don't. But if it looks cool, then, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't tell us about those Street Fighters, though. You didn't tell us about that. You know, Adam all about that shit, you know.
Jada Toys, if they've done all of the World Warriors, you haven't done Saget, they have Blanca coming, and Bison, and they've just done DJ and the new World Warriors. So they're almost done. But you don't want – those figures are cool. But the ones that you really want to get is a company called Storm Collectibles doing six-inch figures too. These ones will scale with a lot of the other regular figures on the market, and they have Street Fighter Alpha.
Ooh.
So that means, and they've already, that's the shit I want. They've already showed two. They've got Ryu and Ken, you know, Ken with the long hair and all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
And then they just showed Chun-Li and Sek.
Manny, okay, can you put Ken, like, do the pose where, like, Ken has a Ryu in the headlock? Like,
and he's got all of his accompanying hands too.
Nice.
But if you're X-Men versus Street Fighter fan, and if you like Marvel Legends, they scale those figures scale perfectly with those figures. And if you remember, X-Men versus Street Fighter and all those games all use the Alpha engine. So you're all the Street Fighter Alpha characters, Street Fighter characters are all in that game.
So
you can sit them next to each other and it look good.
If you put the backdrops from the video games, if you put that on display, oh, that'll be great.
Okay, I just got to look at these links because I was going to ask, like, do the X-Men characters look like X-Men versus, you know, that art style X-Men versus Street Fighter?
No, they look like normal. They look like normal, you know, like X-Men Jim Lee characters. So, like, this is the brown suit.
Oh, okay, yeah, gotcha.
So, yeah. So, and then Psylocke. So, I have, like, Psylocke, Gambit, Gambit and brown suit Wolverine. But
send me a link for the Cyberpunk ones, because I like the wacky-looking outfits that they wore in that game.
Oh, well, yeah. The show is, like,
I'll check out Storm Collectibles myself. What's that other one that I got that geese? I showed it off. That's from another Big Bad Toy Store, I think it was called. What's it called?
Big Bad Toy Store is the official seller of these Storm Collectibles figures.
Gotcha.
So if you want to get Storm Collectibles figures, you go, you know, straight through Big Bad Toy Store. The Cyberpunk figures, those are on Amazon right now. You can order them and they get them right away.
Let me see.
All right. But let's not spend the whole show talking about. It's only four of us tonight, you know. Going on, Kuel. By the way, I love how Kuel has been listening to Throwdown for years. He's like, "What time are you coming on?" The same time we've been coming on for the last 11 years, bro. It hasn't changed, you know.
Yep.
One subset, the homie. Where you been, man? Good to see you. All right, let's get into it, man. Okay, so I'm going to put a little bit of a caveat in this. Obviously, this segment we're going to do right now would have been better if Rich was here because he has played the game. But we can't not talk about Assassin's Creed. Obviously, that's the biggest story, gaming story of the week. In full disclosure, I have had a review code for 2 weeks now, but I just didn't want to play it, bro. I'm good. I'm playing Monster Hunter.
I will say one thing about that game. All the controversies aside, that is a very nice looking game. Like, it runs really well, at least from the way Digital Foundry showed off of it. And it's like a lot of the visuals are pretty close on par with a lot of the Ghost of Tsushima. So at least on that end, you have a pretty damn looking game.
Oh, I mean, okay. So yeah, I was just going to preface, like, anything we talk about right now is just what we've seen on the internet. Nothing's based on opinions, because obviously we haven't played the game. Just like right now, what Manny said, I can't speak on that because I haven't really seen that. I've just seen all the bugs and crazy shit that's happening in the game, you know?
Well, I talked to Rich, and we talked about the game after he did his review.
No, it's a great game of the year.
Yeah, great game of the year. No, his main issue, and he said even after that, it's just the forcing you to play all these mini games.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
And having to progress. Like, you have to do them. The QTEs or something like that, and he said it was just annoying because if you mess up, you have to restart and you have to keep doing it, and it's not really fun, that part. But overall, he liked it. He felt it was a little deceiving on how it's being presented, and really you're following a different story, right? It's not really the main character that everybody thought it was. You're following a different character, but it was still good. I'm surprised. I don't know. I'm surprised that it's not so much of a that with the backlash, because I mean, there's no denying it when someone compares these type of games with Ghost of Tsushima and stuff, because Ghost of Tsushima so far is the king when it comes to this time period and stuff. It's always going to be compared, but it was something that for the longest time people wanted in Assassin's Creed, right? We heard it for years.
Yeah.
Go to Japan, go to this and that. They couldn't do it for whatever. Then they finally do it, but then it's like, oh, you only did it because Ghost of Tsushima pulled it off. You know, that studio got it working and it's great. And now you do it. Now it's always going to be seen as the little brother, the half-assed version. So I think it was already going to get punched down just because of that. But on the flip side, hey, if you don't have a PlayStation and you just have an Xbox, at least you have your alternative to Ghost of Tsushima. Okay. You know, here you go, because this is multiplat. But I don't know. People like it. I think it's not going to be for me. I just, because I even didn't put too much time in Ghost of Tsushima. I like it, open world, but I'm getting old and just spending all that time running around on the horse. It looks cool and all, but I just don't have the time to really immerse myself. So, but hey, he liked it. It seems like a lot of people like it.
Yeah. I'm going to, you know what? I'll use that as a jumping off one, because I got a couple of things I'm going to go through here. I'm just going to call it what it is. I did talk about some of these quote unquote shill reviews, bro. Specifically VG247. So on Metacritic,
they're still around?
Yeah, they're still around, VG247. Oh. Hmm. Okay, check this out. So they gave this game a perfect 100, right? Perfect 100. And this is how the review starts. You know, on Metacritic, you only have like a one paragraph thing. They gave this game 100. And this is how it starts. There are problems with Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Then it's not 100.
Yeah. If you give a game 100, it can't have any problems at all. None. This thing literally, so, and I saw a couple other, who the fuck is, was you guys going ham? Mm-hmm. Like, yo, who the fuck is this?
Yo, Manny's sharing the links.
It's me. I was sharing the links. So, yeah.
I was like, yo, Carlos, what's up? But yeah, so, and then I saw a lot of reviews. I had the same thing. A return to form, return to form, return to form, return to form. I'm like, that sounds like something I heard from another game. Dragon Age Veilguard. A lot of you said the same thing. Return to form, return to form. Guys, can you be fucking original, please? Now, here's the thing, and I want to clear this up. Because I heard, you know, a lot of the content creators that I watch on YouTube, they're saying, oh, these are all obviously paid off. Listen, I've worked in games media for 13 years. I can tell you that shit doesn't happen, right? None of these guys are getting paid off. However, some of them may not want to lose access, you know? So, you know, they may not want to piss off certain companies, so they'll play nice. That happens all the time, obviously. But like money being exchanged, that shit doesn't happen. Ubisoft will be broke. All these game companies will be fucking broke. Now, obviously, I'm talking about for game journalists, because they do pay influencers. Oh, yeah. You know, they do play influencers. But I'm talking about
and
just
influencers come out and say it too.
They say it.
They say it. Gameplay.
Yeah, I got money, baby. You know, yeah.
And nobody comes after them for that.
Yeah. So some of these reviews are just like ridiculous. Like they're like, oh yeah, this game has a lot of problems, but 100. I'm like, I don't think you understand how this works. Here's the thing. Even though I will not permit this. If you have a 10 out of 10 score, maybe I could forgive that, because you have limited space to work with. 5 out of 5, sure. 100, you have 100 fucking points. You couldn't give this shit a 97, bro? Really? It's ridiculous. So that's going on there. And then another thing that, you know, and Brian, don't worry, I will get you in here soon. I just got a rant right now. Another thing I found very suspicious, right? So Ubisoft tweeted out that, and I'm going to read this. It's not even port. This was tweeted out today around 3:19 p.m. Eastern, right? Time's about right. It's not even 4 p.m. here in Canada, and Assassin's Creed Shadow has already passed 1 million players. Okay, what does that mean? That's not sales.
Where are they getting this number? 1 million players on what platform? Or
they don't specify.
Then you can't count that.
But this is coming from the Assassin's Creed account. So there, but you see what you see the thing they're pulling there, right? They're not saying 1 million sold. What happened 3 days after Monster Hunter came out? We've sold 8 million copies. They told you that straight up. This is 1 million players. What does that mean? Because if you go over on Steam, Brian, do me a favor and look this up. At one point, the highest concurrent players was around like 60,000. Okay, I'm retarded when it comes to math. Even I know 60,000 is nowhere close to a million. So I want to know where the hell they're getting these numbers. So that's a little sus, as the kids would say, you know?
Unless they're getting back end numbers from PlayStation and Xbox, because we never see numbers from those platforms. So unless they're getting something that we don't see.
A million players. Anyway, I'm going to get to the Japanese controversy because the Japanese government not happy with this game. But Brian, I want to get I'll tell you, but Brian, I want to what are concurrent numbers, and I want to get your thoughts on what you've seen of this game so far.
Current numbers are 31.9 thousand.
All right.
Now, and peak today has been, where is it? There it is, 41,500.
Okay, so I was off by 20,000. Yeah.
I mean, besides, if we don't count that 1 million, those are pretty good numbers for a single player game.
It's currently 27th on Steam behind Elden Ring and Baldur's Gate 3 and Helldivers 2.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Adam. For a new game, those are not good numbers.
Best numbers. Like, again, we'll see how they go after like a week.
Yeah.
Just in comparison, Balatro has 25,000.
Oh, well, that's.
Well, that was one guy. So,
yeah.
It's a card game.
That's a good point.
Monsanto World, not Wild, World, peaked today at 39,000.
Yeah, a game that's 6 years old. 8 years old. Or 8 years old. No. Yes, yes. 2018 math, 7, 8, I don't know math, but it's old. It's an old game. It's an old game.
It's on the PS4.
Yeah, it's an old game. It's an old game. Yes. So yeah, what are your thoughts on what you've seen of Assassin's Creed so far, man? Because to me, it's looking a little sus.
So many thoughts. It's I just feel like I'm having deja vu. Like I've been here before. Like about six months ago, there was this little game I think called Dragon Age. Real God, I don't quite remember it, and it seemed like it had the exact same. It seemed like going through the motions. You know, first it's game is good, everyone's wrong, and then suddenly over time, maybe in like 2-3 weeks, it'll be like, oh yeah, the game wasn't really that great, and the game's kind of bad, and then the layoffs come, and then everyone just acts shocked. It's like, oh no, how could everyone ever see this? You know, now the game isn't dead. It's in the fans' hands. Okay, yeah. Just keep saying that. It's fine.
And then it comes to PlayStation Plus.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Ubisoft, it might be different, but again, it's EA. So yeah, anything's possible. I just don't care anymore. I literally don't care. Like for so long with all the weird controversies and what's been going on, I don't care about this. Again, it's a cool setting, but apart from that, I have zero desire to play it, and Monsanto exists.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, ever since this game was announced, it's just been mired in controversy. A lot of, I'm just going to say it, current day-isms are there. I've seen a lot of these clips, looking pretty bad. So that alone makes me go like, yeah, I'm not playing this game. But ultimately, it is like, I don't want to, like, when I heard this is just another bloated game, Brian, I don't know if, did you hear? Actually, no, somebody posted it. The credits, the ending credits, you know, the credit sequence lasts 2 hours.
What?
Just to put that into context, that's 2/3 of a Lord of the Rings film. Anything that can be measured in the Lord of the Rings film terms is not good.
Yeah, that's insane. Okay, and here's the thing. I've always complained about how modern games, and I always singled out the fucking Assassin's Creed games. Like, these credits are too long. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 2 hours.
Well, you know, who watches the credits? You could always skip it. They don't force you.
No, they don't. But, like, the point is just they're thanking everybody for no reason, you know, and it kind of shows you why this game was so out of hand, you know? It's just too many cooks in the kitchen, you know? But then again, they're also thanking people that had nothing to do with the game. You know, like Laura from catering or some shit, you know?
Oh, well, they needed to eat. People needed to eat.
A lot of suspect stuff, especially with, you know, here's the thing. Obviously, Assassin's Creed has never been 100% historically accurate, but they always try to work around actual history. But this time they flat out said, no, we're making shit up. They said that, you know?
All right.
There's a mode in the game, right, where there's like what I like to call the golden path, which is like more, they say is more accurate, you know, to the way it is, you know, to the way that should have gone. And then there's the stuff that you've been seeing online where you can literally just do other things, because there's a little bit of a Mass Effect element to the game where you have choices as to what things that you can do, you know, certain things that you can do, and it can affect certain things later on.
Yeah.
Which I don't think any other Assassin's Creed has had that as to my recollection. But then again, I haven't played Assassin's Creed games.
No, they haven't had that, but I think they added that. I think that's why the game was delayed. Because remember, and Manny, perfect segue here. This is why the Japanese government had a whole thing about this, like in their parliament, whatever they have, talking about this game, you know, and they were basically saying, like, you know, we don't want this game to potentially inspire people to destroy, like, you know, shrines and stuff like you were able to do in the game. Yeah, like, and notice what I said, you were able to do, because day one patch came out, they took all that stuff out, you know? And here's the thing, I'll say this, shout out to Tumeke. We were talking about this today on Discord. He says that a lot of these fucking influencers are going over to Japan, Western influencers going to Japan and doing dumb shit, and the Japanese are getting sick of it. You know, they're doing all these stunts, you know?
Well, it's like that. It's like the shit with Logan Paul. It's
exactly. That sort of exactly.
You're going over there to another country, and you're being, because the country is not confrontational when it comes to these people, you know, they just think that they can get away with anything. But, you know, they did take that one guy out, you know, before. And I think Logan Paul is forbidden from coming back to Japan ever again.
Yeah.
Because of what he did.
He filmed the suicide forest.
He went to the suicide forest and, you know.
You're right. They go to these countries, and this isn't that just Japan. They go to Korea to do this stuff, and they act a fool, do dumb shit, because the people there won't do anything. Except this one guy, he's like apparently a famous content creator. He went over there fucking around Korea. Some a Korean Marine wasn't having it, and I think he, you know, taught him a lesson, which is good. You know, like these guys deserve to get fucked up. They're doing dumb shit like that, you know?
Yeah, like, number one, it's like, you are a representative of your country. Don't go over there and act a fool. Do what, you know, like, look around, see all the different things, but don't be an asshole, you know? You know, not every country is like fucking, is like Japan or maybe Korea, the way Korea is. You know, you could be like a place like Singapore where they have zero tolerance for any bullshit.
Yeah, you know, lashes.
And you get your ass, and you get your ass caned.
Yep.
So,
that's still relevant. And people don't know why. Why are they canes in pro wrestling? It was because of that. They introduced the cane because of it was all over the news of this kid that to face some cars out there, remember? And then they caned him.
Yeah. American kid.
He won't do that shit ever again, will he? Right.
Dumbass. Yeah. You know. Dumbass. But so here's the thing. This is just my opinion. I think Japan, and for obvious reasons, some rightfully so, are very offended by this game. So they're coming down on it even harder than they would, because they've made their own games where you get destroy fucking shrines and stuff. But no, this game, they've had to destroy Torii Gate, which is super offensive. That's like a symbol of, you know, World War II bombing and shit. They had fucking Chinese letters for fucking advertising, you know, which is also super offensive. They keep doing dumb shit like that. They had Chinese people do the translation in this game, the localization. What?
So it's like, you know, like, I mean.
Oh, and Manny, last thing, and you'll like this part too. Apparently, some of the most of the developers have never even went to Japan. Like, even the main people, you would think the main core people go to Japan and look at some shit. They didn't go. Man. That's not good.
That's the big difference between Ghost of Tsushima and this game. They literally went through everything to over there. I mean, obviously, granted, you know, Sony or PlayStation is a Japanese company or a global company, but in general, they did their due diligence and they were successful at creating this game. You know, like, you know, the Japanese. In fact, to the point where the Japanese is like, why the fuck haven't we done this shit? You know?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you know what other franchise used to actually go to places to do their research? Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed.
They used to do that.
They did, even in the division.
The French, is that what you're going to talk about, Manny? The French church? So there was some French. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what was it? The Notre
Dame. Unity.
Yeah.
It was in Assassin's Creed Unity with Notre Dame when it got burned.
Notre Dame got burned. But what they did is at the time they took like detailed schematics
before they got burned, yeah,
so that they could rebuild it in the game.
Yeah.
So what did they do when the church burned and had that awful fire? They went to those guys went over there and they said, "Hey, listen, we took all this data. Use it to help, you know, to help them fix it, because that building is so old that the blueprints don't exist."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's how Assassin's Creed used to do it. I remember when they were developing Assassin's Creed 2, they went to Italy. They did all that shit, you know, but apparently most of these guys never even bothered. And the other part is, like, obviously, you know, and this is something they even admitted, most of the developers on this game, this is their first game ever. This is a flagship franchise for a company. You're going to have the C team? That's crazy, you know?
Have a couple of new people. Two hours of credit. They must have had everybody. But the only thing I can think of to play devil's advocate then is that stuff isn't around anymore from the time period. How much of that is still standing that they could have recreated? Because, I mean, they
In Japan?
Yeah, in Japan. Is it a lot of that stuff still
there? There's a lot
in the game.
There is a lot of, I mean, granted, I'm guessing for them, they probably played a little fast and loose. They didn't make it an exact location. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like the way Tsushima is, where it's like, it's supposed to be, you know, it's Tsushima Island, but it's not, it may not be exactly correct, but they did their research enough to know how these things work. So I think that's what it is there. There's a fair amount of, you know, artistic liberty that's being sort of taken with some of it. Obviously, you know, Italy was Italy, but it wasn't fully Italy or Florence, you know. Yeah. It was like kind of a truncated version of it. Same thing with the, you know, like the first game. Like nobody knows what, you know, that area looked like in those times. So it's like based off of the research they created this world. But in this case, it just seems like it seems like they just took a kind of a light smattering. It's like, okay, we want to make ninja game. All right, what are the tropes of ninja game or Japan game, as opposed to really legitimately, you know, going in and doing their due diligence, especially when it comes to Japanese culture. They're very sensitive about them. You know, they're very sensitive about when people get their culture wrong and represent it wrong. There's multiple occasions where Japan has come down on something because they're like, no, what is this? Like, you know, I bring up a situation where they had that movie Memoirs of a Geisha, right? And they had two Chinese actresses in the film, and they were like, why do you have two Chinese actresses in the film when you could have just used Japanese actresses that wouldn't know this stuff better, you know?
Yeah.
It's stuff like that.
Yeah, so yeah, there's been a lot of buildup, so I totally understand where the Japanese government is coming from, you know, because they are sensitive stuff. And again, it goes both ways. If you fuck up, you know, the representation, they will give you crap about it. But if you do it well, like Ghost of Tsushima, they will praise you. They will actually erect like a fucking thing for them. Like, didn't they like commemorate them, you know?
Well, the one thing about Tsushima is that it brought attention to the island, and it also helped them raise money to fix these damaged torii gates that were over there. So in other words, the attention brought people over and started, like, you know, they started to do restoration, which is a good thing. That's the sort of stuff that you want.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's just to prove that, you know, Japan is not like, oh, don't talk about our country. It's like, they want you to just do it right. They just want you to be respectful. And I don't think that's a lot to ask for, you know?
Like, no, I don't think so either. Again, it's like, I think, you know, people always talk about representation these days, right? You know, talk about representing people the proper way. It goes in every direction, right? If you're going to represent a culture that's not you, you better do your goddammitest to get that thing as close to correct as possible. And if you do need to make up some shit, you've done enough research to be like, all right, I know we made this crazy ass thing up, but here are things that are somewhat examples of that.
Yeah. So there you go. So we'll see how this game does. I predict this game will do better than fucking Veil Guard, just because it's Assassin's Creed and people seem to at least enjoy the gameplay. And like you said, the graphics look nice. So that could be something, but yeah.
The graphics and the gameplay the people seem to really like. They like the way the girl moves and her ninja abilities work. They have a decapitation system in there where you can like chop people's arms off. You can chop through like wooden planks and all kinds of other things. So there's destructible environments and things like that. So there's all kinds of fun little, you know, bits and bobs in there to kind of make your journey interesting. But yeah, there's some things that people that are not liking about some of the plot contrivances of the
People like ninjas, you know.
Just, yeah, they like ninjas.
People
and
love ninjas.
Yeah,
and then again, all the stuff that we're talking about, things you're posting, and most of the stuff is on the internet. If like you said, the casual people, they just know the brand.
People are streaming it. Creed.
Yeah, they'd be like, "Yo, I'm gonna go. Yeah, I want that. Yeah, Assassin's Creed. I know those games. I like those games." Maybe they don't know all the back end of the lore, how accurate. They don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. I just want to play and chop people up. I saw those, like you said, streaming. Shows people showing highlight kills and stuff. It sounds really over the top. So, yeah, I could see the interest in that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. And also, Manny, I think you probably saw my answer to this. But, yeah, the whole Animus system, they pretty much ditched it. Ever since 3 was the last one, like you don't have to be related to the person to, you know, embody them. That they got rid of that after Desmond, they got rid of that. You know,
no, well, no, because even Black Flag.
Black Flag was the last one that had it. Yeah, that was the last one.
You still had to do it, and then even the Viking one too.
No, you don't have to be related. You don't have to be related.
But it was you were now enjoying the experiences. You could still get out of it.
Adam, he's talking. I'm talking about that you needed to be related to the person that you're in the animus of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They got rid of that.
The whole animus altogether. Yeah. They should drop
you
all
had to
that
be
shit.
Like you had to be like an ancestor.
Yeah.
They got rid of that a long time ago.
But then one of the games, they did a thing where it's like you're an Abstergo guy that goes into the Animus.
That was Black Flag. Adam, it was Black Flag where you're like in first person and shit. You're walking around the office.
Remember that guy came up to you and he was like, oh, your great aunt, whatever ancestor was a pirate. What they were doing, but they were setting it up because the whole point of the Animus, no one really cared about the story. But the story is that they would bring these people in. And then if they found something within your mind or your ancestors, then they would extract that. So that way they can sell those experiences so that they can continue it on, whether it's the Vikings and stuff. Oh, I want to be a Viking. Okay, now sit in this thing and now feel it and like live the memories or whatever. It's dumb. Drop all that. I never found that interesting.
Yeah. Kuel says, is the chick in the gi real or made up? I don't know who the girl in the gi is. You're talking about like the ninja girl? I think they made her up. Yasuke is real.
Is real, but they played fast and loose.
They played very fast and loose with them. That was the other thing that Japanese were not happy about because, Ubisoft quote unquote consulted a Japanese historian, but it was some white guy living in Japan and he got shit wrong. He was making stuff up,
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I get, you know, it is a very fascinating idea. You have. A place you don't think of, of African, Africans being in Japan. So it's a very, and in his somewhat connection to Nobunaga, but him being a samurai, that's a little bit of questionable on that end. But at the same time, it's like, it's a fun place to, and I get that them, playing in that realm because they're more the first to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there has been Yasuke, a version of Yasuke is in the Team Ninja game.
Oh, Neo.
He's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neo, there's a version of him that's in there. I don't think he's named Yasuke in there, but he is a version of that same idea. And then they've also worked him. There's also an anime that's also called Yasuke that's on Netflix currently. And that's, again, plays very fast and loose with the legends. There's robots and werewolves and all kinds of crazy shit in there. It's all super fantasy and stuff. So
But what do you think about the fact that the original protagonist was actually a regular Japanese man, but then after the whole Summer of Love happened in 2020, he decided, oh, we should make him black instead. What do you think about that part?
It's a weird one.
And it's not a rumor, by the way. They admitted that.
It's a weird one that like it's a weird one that they decided to swap it out, because this is also the first Assassin's Creed that you're playing a legitimately a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, all of those characters that are like side like the ones that are famous people are usually like you know people PCs. That you'll meet.
Yeah, the side
so like you
yeah.
if you yeah if you play like let's say if you're playing the game like let's say the older version of the game you're playing Ninja Dude, right? And then he meets Yasuke and he meets Nobunaga. They would be side characters that he would do missions for or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe you would help him in like a famous battle that you know or something like that. Like that's usually the formula of it. But like yeah, this is the first one that's a legitimate person. But also the weird thing about it is that being that it's a legitimate person, they're doing things that I would say that it's a little weird to do to a real
mm-hmm.
person.
I've seen some of those videos, you know.
Now, like again, like remember how I told you that there is like a you know historical way of playing the game, you know, that makes more sense. And then there's like if you played the game like Mass Effect, you could just dirty do the other all the things that you want to do because they give you choices. So it's a bit weird that you're doing that with a legitimate person, with a real person, as opposed to it being a fake person.
Yeah, it's very strange. But yeah, obviously, when Rich gets back, he'll give us his full review of it. But there you go. All right. I want to keep things still Japanese centric here. We got to talk about Mr. Sakurai. This is a very interesting kind of statement he put out. But for you guys who don't know, Sakurai, Smash Brothers creator. Because this is a conversation we've been having for like almost the entirety of Throwdown. So basically, he came out to say that he feels that Japanese game developers, it makes more sense for them to make games that are Japanese-centric instead of Western-centric because Western gamers will appreciate that. Now, what's interesting about that statement is this is an exact thing that there was a video that Manny showed to me that I haven't favorited. 2017, 18 or so, right?
Yep.
It was an hour long or so with a bunch of Japanese developers where they came to that same conclusion. Basically, what happened is a little bit of a history lesson for you guys. In the 2010s, like early 2010s, or most, like actually, I should say the first half of the 2010s, right? Japanese games tried to be more Western, right? You had Capcom doing that weird Bionic Commando. You had the fucking Resident Evil games. You had all these, like, what's that other one? They were trying to be like Gears of War with a girl you throw. They're like, I don't know what company that went. It was a lot of weird
Namco.
Games. Yeah, that was Namco. Yeah. There was a lot of attempts trying to be Western and it all bombed, right? And then after that, they're like, okay, let's just go back to just making games for Japanese audiences. Let's not worry about the Westerners. Guess what happened? Westerners like, hey, that's the shit I wanted. You know, because it's like, why? And I remember in that video, it was, I'm forgetting the dude's name, the guy who created Like a Dragon, right? The Ryo Gogoto guy. He said, like, oh, why didn't we just see the obvious? When you give people Japanese games, they like it. You know, because Yakuza 3 came out, right? In America, they localized it. And they got scorched because they took out shit like Mahjong, all this like stuff that they felt Westerners wouldn't understand. Westerners like, no, we want that shit. We want this thing to feel Japanese. So Sakurai is basically saying a version of that. It was like, yeah, if we just make games that are Japanese, everybody will like them, which is true. I'm not buying a Japanese game to get a Western feel. If I want a Western feel, I'll buy a fucking Western game. You know,
he said it's also it's exotic to people from who are mm-hmm. not Japanese. And that's exactly it. It's like you're getting something that's uniquely their voice, even when it's something when it's them attempting to do, you know, like doing a very sort of Western sort of feeling character type of title. It still has that weirdness of essentially a Japanese version of what an American person is.
Yeah.
It's like weird. It's like, it's not right because they don't know it. They don't know what it's like. But I think that's the thing. I don't think they need to placate to Westerners. For years, people have pretty much full generations of people have grown up with mostly Japanese games.
That's true.
So why is it, why do they have to placate to everybody else? In fact, I feel like a lot of studios need to start doing that, embracing their cultural identities within their own games. You know, for, you know, like, you know, obviously you see that with The Witcher. Granted, it's a very Western type of game, but that is also comes from, you know, a Slavic story, right?
Yeah.
That's purely for where CD Projekt Red
it Poland. From?
It's in Poland.
Yeah, it's very Polish. It's a very Polish sort of story. It's something that's unique to them, and I think a lot more you know, game developers should also present their cultures or present their own unique voices within that, instead of just essentially making, hey, look, guy with gun game.
Yeah,
wait, right? Like Division. Division is historically accurate with New York and how life it snows. Is and how dirty it snows. It's dirty. There's wild animals, dogs, particularly. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. A lot of hobos in the subway terminals and stuff. That's all accurate.
Yeah, Brian, you got any thoughts on this?
No, not really. It's again, you guys have pretty much said everything.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to Sakurai.
Oh, wait. What's let's up? Bring him on. Wait, Brian. With Legion, with that fucking Legion shit, the Watchdogs, because that's still the same shit. They were all trying to. How accurate was that of England? Like the map design and stuff like that, locations.
I think it was London,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was relatively accurate of central London. Again, as accurate as you can get given the game, but yeah,
because it's in the future. Had all the
landmarks.
Well, that's cool.
Even Syndicate also did a really good job, as that had like all the landmarks of way back when. And again, having walked those streets myself, I was like, oh yeah, cool. You can actually turn down this road, turn down that road, and here's this. Obviously, things came a bit too fast, but again, games.
Exactly. See, that's what I love about those type of things, especially if you know the area and you're like, well, if I turn here, I should see this statue and I should see that. Oh, wow, it's there. You know, it's it was always cool.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to Sakurai. I don't say that very often. You know,
he also received an award also for his YouTube channel, which is a very good YouTube channel about game development in general. At least, you know, at least Japanese game development. So if you ever seen, I know he's recently kind of stopped that channel, like stopped updating it, but it's a very good channel to get a good insight into, you know, the thought process, at least for Japanese developers. And if you're interested in how he sort of created the Super Smash Brothers games.
Yeah. So didn't he close down that YouTube channel or stop?
No, he's not doing them anymore. He sort of just had his last video. But yeah, it's a lot more knowledge than you get from a lot of people, you know. I mean, unless, you know, granted GDC is happening in this weekend, but good luck seeing any of those videos if you're not part of the GDC, you know, vault, which you have to pay money to be in.
Yeah, that's right.
These paywalls.
Yeah. All right. Another thing here. So I'm not going to read this whole article, but I kind of just want to use that as a springboard for conversation. Mr. Jez Corden over at Windows Central posted a story about how some Xbox fans are feeling frustrated that the Activision Blizzard deal hasn't allowed them to play those old Activision backlog games, you know, which we've been talking about. You can't play any of those old Spider-Man games. You can't play a lot of this
stuff. You can't play the fucking Deadpool game
or the Wolverine game.
How good would that have been if during the release of those movies that they released both Deadpool and Wolverine, they couldn't clear that out with Disney? Seriously?
Shoot, yeah.
Man, how about just the Guitar Heroes? Bring those back.
Yeah. So what do you? Yeah. I mean, we've already kind of talked about this, but yeah, it's like you bought all these studios. Why aren't you bringing making those games available? You know, like, is it that tough?
It's got to be licensing. That's the only thing. Because remember, we didn't have this issue when they bought Bethesda. It was it was some time period. But then when it happened, it was like a dump of games just like popped up on Game Pass. Like, empty out the bag. Here, play this, play Wolfenstein, play blah, blah, blah. You know, so I think that's what everybody's been waiting for. The same type of thing with the Activision.
That's what it is. Right? That's why people are frustrated.
Let's see it. Where's all the older games? Where's all the, you know, at least even the Guitar Hero, a lot of people were excited. Like, oh, I get to dust off my instrument. I'll be able to play these old games.
That's a difficult one.
That's a licensing.
Licensing.
So If it isn't already available on the store, you know, or, you know, any of that sort of stuff, that's how they've been able to get away with a lot of those things, putting them out on there. If it's, you know, like things that are on the 360 store, you know, but yeah. If the thing about it is that when you change the platform, that means that all it's the contracts, platform, yeah. Yeah, it's a new platform, and that means that all the contracts and all that stuff is all null and void, and you have to redo it all over again. You have to, you know, essentially strike out new contracts. If you have a bunch of licensed music, you literally have to go through the line and make sure every single one of those things are still valid. Also, if let's say, you know, as some performers, as the years go on, their licensing fees change. Depending on, you know, because I'm sure getting a Slayer song now is a lot like more expensive than getting a Slayer song years ago when they put them inside of the Guitar Hero. So it's all this under stuff that needs to happen in order to get these things out again.
Yeah.
For Bethesda, it's a bit of a different story because a lot of those things were all still available on their other, you know, on the stores or on the platforms already. You don't need to go that far, but try playing the original Fallout. Is that on the Xbox right now? I don't think so. Yeah. It's on the PC.
But and the same goes for even the Call of Duty. People are like, oh, I'm going to play all these old ones. They're going to dump them all, and we haven't seen that either.
Yeah, you know, that's what this thing's saying. So. People want to call all Call of Duties. They want they want World of Warcraft or Warcraft games. None of that stuff's there. The old Diablos, they're not there. You know.
Yeah.
So I understand their frustration. It's like, okay, you spent all this money where we should be flooded with all this stuff. So I get it, you know. Xbox, man, just taking L's, bro. But I agree with you. It's like a lot of licenses, like all the old Tony Hawk games. They got to relicense all that shit, you know.
Yeah, well, and
they're going to remake
so the remakes, right? The remakes are actually missing songs.
Yeah, see, yeah, licensing stuff.
Yeah, I gotta
because
take
of licensing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna switch gears a little bit. We're gonna talk about. Even though it's pop culture related, it's still about games. And plus, not a lot happened this fucking week, so we got to fill out the show with something. You know, right, Adam? Got to have something.
Got to have something.
So they showed our first look at the Mortal Kombat 2 movie. And to my surprise, Carl Urban is playing Johnny Cage. Like, bro, you must have fallen on hard times, man. You know, you gotta sign up for this bullshit, you know? I saw the first one because it was one of those movies. I was just on HBO Max for free, basically, because of the lockdown. Horrible fucking movie. Terrible.
It was so bad.
It was really bad. So I'm not going to bother with this one. But I just find it very funny that fucking Carl Urban.
I've never seen a good live action Mortal Kombat. There's some good animated ones.
The first Mortal Kombat movie, the first one is still fun. I actually rewatched it. Great soundtrack. No, I actually rewatched that, I think, like a year or two ago. I'm like, damn, this movie's still fucking good, you know? But don't watch Annihilation again, boy. Absolute basura, you know? So, yeah, again, I'm just throwing it in there just for fun, but I'm like, Carl Urban, bro, what are you doing? You got the boys, man. I thought you'd be making money, you know?
He doesn't turn down anything. That was like the thing with Samuel Jackson. Like,
that's
you're right. All these things. He's like, yo, man, I was hungry for a long time, and then Pulp Fiction came out, and then all these doors opened, and I said yes to everything.
Yeah,
you see that with John Cena too. John Cena says yes to everything. He's doing car commercial voiceover work. He's doing anime. He's doing movies. He's wrestling. He will not turn down a paycheck. So
yeah. Yeah, but again, what do you guys think of Carl Urban as Johnny Cage? That's a little weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like he's one of the, like, it, I don't know. It's a,
yeah,
it's a
I know.
One for him. Yeah. I almost feel he's also too old to play Johnny Cage.
Yep.
Maybe when he was young in Lord of the Rings, maybe I could have said it then, but I don't know.
Yeah, and it seems like some of the other people, the other big deal was Shao Kahn's going to be in this. I mean, there's just a really dark picture, so I can't really say much, but I don't know. I think this movie's going to be bad, bro.
It's a pass.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Our illustrated deal says he wants Carl Urban to play Solid Snake. I could see that. Maybe a little young. He's a little old too, though.
Yeah, he's a little old.
Yeah,
he's looking. Years ago, I would have said yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, years ago, absolutely. Lord of the Rings time, yes.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings
time. But Manny, that was 20 years ago.
That's 20 years ago. So yeah, I don't know about him. I'm even starting to think that Oscar Isaac is getting a little bit too old for Solid Snake too.
Oh yeah, he is.
Signed on for the Metal Gear movie.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, they need some younger guys. All right, so there you go.
Get that Italian guy from Death Stranding 2. Apparently, he looks a lot like fucking Snake, right?
Nah, but now he probably has some bug eyes. I don't like that guy for Snake.
The biggest issue would probably be his accent. He has a very heavy Italian accent.
So. Oh. Maybe he can fake it, just like all the Brits with their American accents. They can pull that also.
There you go. All right.
You know what would be a good solid snake? If you ever seen the Furiosa movie, the guy that's kind of training her in that movie, okay. That dude would make a good solid snake.
That was a fun movie.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then another TV thing. So they've apparently already greenlit 2 seasons of the God of War TV show. And admittedly, I haven't been keeping up with this. This is actually being produced by Ronald Moore, who you guys may know from Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica specifically. But I wanted to talk about this story because he said a line that I'm like, my dude, this is 2025. We don't use that anymore. He was in an interview. Tell me if you've heard this line before. Oh, and he said this unironically. Oh, video games have come a long way since Pong. My dude.
Really?
Yeah, like that old tired ass line. But he was saying that because he says he doesn't play games. He said he tried to play the God of War games. He couldn't do it. He's like, oh, this is way too complicated. Like, this isn't Pong. I'm like, bro.
So, but he didn't write the script, right? He's just directing.
He's just a producer. He's a producer.
Okay.
He's a showrunner. Excuse me, showrunner.
That's concerning.
Yeah. So, and listen, I'm pretty sure this show is going to be fucking horrible. Like all video game shows are.
I hate when like, oh, I don't need the follow source material. I could throw my own spin.
The Halo show.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Follow the source because the fan base is from there.
Yeah.
And then what will it be? It'll be the.
Oh, and it's from Amazon. Here we go. The only shit they got right is fucking Invincible. Anyway, go ahead, man.
It'll be Dad of War too.
It's gonna be Dad of War. Yeah, it's gonna be Dad of War. Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys. Let's go through the whole thing.
Did they say who they have cast for Dad of War?
I don't know.
It's Jack. It's Reacher.
It's Tom. I could see it.
He could be Kratos.
Yeah.
He could definitely be Kratos, but they need to throw in somebody hulking and don't skim on it. It's like, we'll put in Tom Cruise or something. No. It needs to see big hulking person.
Yeah, but yeah, the showrunner, bro. It doesn't play the games.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like I would say, like, I don't think the guys that did the Last of Us series also, you know, played the games, but I think because it's the PlayStation Studios that are involved, they'll probably push it to be a little bit closer to it.
Yeah.
But who knows?
See, I don't understand, because when we see these movies that are adapted from books, you always hear, it's like, I read the book and it was very fascinating and decided, well, if you're willing to go that far, then you should do the same for video games. Yeah, it takes a lot longer in some cases, but still, you have assistants.
Yeah.
You hire an assistant to sit there. You sit there and watch them play it. Hell, don't even do that. Watch a full playthrough on YouTube. You know?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts, man?
I'm with you, Tony. I'm concerned because these statements are concerning. But again, I think it's a bit too early to tell how this is going to go. Obviously, we all want it to be good, but given track record of how things fall out,
Fallout. Nice pun there.
Oh, I don't know if that was intended or not.
That was a great pun because Fallout, Amazon, video game. Excellent.
People liked it. Awesome. That was a good one. People really liked that. That
was
awesome. One.
And now it's true to the source. I loved it. That was.
Yeah. Anyway, Brian, continue.
Given how things have been in the past, I don't have much faith.
Same.
I think it's safer just to say It'll be bad. It'll be the Halo TV show, and we'll just see. Because even then, I was like, okay, again, I actually like the idea of the Halo TV show. I was like, okay, cool. And then he took off his helmet and wouldn't put it back on. And I was like, the fuck are you doing? And then went downhill from there, just like the games.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I have no faith in this, you know? I think that's just a safer way of going about things. Just assume it's going to be bad. And if it's good, then be pleasantly surprised, you know?
I think with Amazon Studios are holding it, we can't, like you said, there's some hit and miss. Some of the things are great. Some aren't so great. So we just can't blanket the whole, like, oh, they're all going to suck. But we could definitely nitpick and see where their directions are. And this is a bad direction. How do you hire somebody who doesn't know the source material to, like, produce the project? That just... You wouldn't do that for building a house. I was like, all right, we want a house. I only do bunkers. But I think I got an idea. Don't worry about it. Well, here's my sketch and this one. No. I got this. We wouldn't do that. Yeah, we wouldn't do that. And especially with something like this, I'm really disappointed at Sony then that they would even allow that. You know, at least Nintendo. Yeah. Nintendo holds older IPs close to their chest. They're like, no. I mean, it took forever just to get this Mario movie. So you would think Sony, especially with what happened with The Last of Us, the show, that was a success. But you see there was that interaction, involvement with the studio.
Well, Neil Druckmann's also behind it too, you know.
That's what I'm saying. You would see that and be like, all right, we want to recreate this with the God of War. What, that guy doesn't like any of our games? Oh, never even played our games? You know what? We should be good. No. Who would it? Come on now, Sony? Don't let this happen.
Yeah, he worked on Battlestar Galactica. That's all we need to know. You know?
No.
Yeah, sure. Dio says, whatever happened to that new Tomb Raider? The new Tomb Raider films, were they any good? What do you mean films? There was only one that I knew about, not good either. You know?
I think that's what you told me, because it was supposed to be a whole reboot of the series with the new girl.
Is that what it was? Oh, yeah. They only made that one movie. That was it.
They only made that one, and it just didn't. Then I think
it was a bad movie. It was a bad movie.
I think it's a show that's coming to Netflix. I don't know if it's animated or live action, but there was.
Oh, is that the one where Lara Croft looks like a man? I've seen some of that, you know?
I just read about it. I haven't seen anything. I know something. It's just like the same thing with Gears, how Netflix is making a live action series and an animated. I haven't seen anything, but I know that they're doing it. So
Terminator
was on that list, and Assassin's Creed was on that list.
Oh, man. Remember the Assassin's Creed movie with Fassbender, whatever the fuck his name was? Yeah,
Michael Fassbender. Yeah. I still see him. He's in the agency. He's still around. But that was an epic fail for them.
Yeah.
The whole point of it was the time period, and you don't do it. You do real time for the whole shit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, talk about not understanding the source material. So we could see something like that with the God of War show. It's like, wait, do you know what you're working on here?
Oh, you know? And they pull a Masters of the Universe and they do everything out of the realm. I could see that with the God of War.
He goes through one of the
portals and he leaves and he's in modern time. What is this?
What is this? Oh, boy. God, I could see that, because that's how they save on budget. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Save on budget. And he's walking around and he's all hulking, and then it's like in California. And, oh, boy.
Oh, God, stupid.
You know the one thing about having the, what is it? That Battlestar Galactica guy, they might have the Bear McQuarrie working on it, if you think about it, because he did the music for Battlestar, and he probably is, you know, he's in with Amazon.
So. Yeah.
Oh.
And he did the music for God of War. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did the music for God of War games.
Yeah, Dad of War games. Yep. So there you go. All right. And the last thing I want to touch on here. So PlayStation 5 is currently outpacing the PS4 in sales, yet Xbox Series X is not outpacing the Xbox One. Isn't that something?
I mean, it's already too far gone.
It's too far gone, man.
Like, why, like, who's, like, other than the people that have already been the install base of it, that's why they're doing all the things they're doing, you know? It's why they're putting their games on other consoles.
Yeah, and then I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I don't think Xbox is getting any new people coming in. I think it's just the diehards that are still there, you know?
Yeah, well, there's not enough to attract them to it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You're telling me that you've undermined your own first parties. You're putting them all on, you know, like, you know, well, we know that Indiana Jones is coming, and we know that Forza is coming, you know, they're all going to the other consoles. So it's like, why would you even, you know, like Paris said, why own an Xbox?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you're a third party company, you know, yeah, okay, you got your little streaming service and stuff, and then you're putting your games on other consoles, then what do you need a console for?
You don't need an Xbox
to play. If anything, if push comes to shove, they should just they almost don't need to make any more Xbox games. Concentrate on PC development, and then, you know, if you want your console experience, go to the PlayStation and the Switch.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Kuel says he's drunk. You shouldn't be drinking that much, man. I don't know, Thursday night, bro.
Maybe he's off tomorrow.
Yeah, Manny, you're muted.
Unless you got Friday off.
Yeah, unless you got Friday off, then it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, then go nuts.
Friday off.
Okay, so I'm reading this from IGN. According to most recent data from Circana, which is basically the new NPDs, each platform's first 52 months in the market, PS5 units exceeded PS4 sales by 7%. While Xbox Series X and S combined now trail Xbox One by 19%. No bueno. Here's the
thing, though. They're not promoting anything for it.
There's nothing for it. What are they going to promote?
They can just promote Game Pass if they throw it in for something.
What's on Game Pass to promote?
Oh, you got all kinds of. You got Indiana Jones, and you got all these other games that are still on there. Things that you don't have to pay for, especially now. People don't want to buy games and stuff. So I was like, here you go. Don't have to buy it. These are new games, not old games. New games, and you know, that'll spice things up.
Yeah, but
they're not advertising it. We don't see that. We don't ever see. I never see anything going around anywhere about, oh yeah, this is not. And I said, well, my kids, I always ask them, they're one's 8, the other one's 13, so middle school and elementary. Like, hey, what are your friends playing? They're playing phone games,
Fortnite and
PlayStation
shit.
5. Yeah, they are not playing. Xbox never comes up, But even a lot of the games that Wizard has been talking about are not even, because, like you said, Fortnite and other things like that. How about this one, big one, Sally Face? I know nothing about this, but apparently it's a big deal too. It's called Sally Faces.
Yeah, you're making up. You're making shit up now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Look it up. Episodic. It's got like all these downloads. It's a huge game, especially on Steam. And it's dark. It's a dark game, but a lot of people like that. And I knew nothing about it. I don't even think it came to consoles. It was just phones and PC.
You know, it's funny you say that you don't see advertisement for Xbox. Obviously, I'm in a different situation. I work in Times Square. Every time there's some Xbox shit all over the fucking place. Indiana Jones was there. Xbox Game Pass. I see this shit all the time, but you know, it's not working, apparently, you know. Crazy stuff. But this is what I wanted to use this story as the springboard for. Shout out to Jay Shep. I was having a conversation with him on Discord about this, you know. You know, and he was just saying, he just casually said, like, oh, maybe Xbox can turn things around with new hardware. And I'm like, oh, you mean like how people said about the Xbox Series X? You know, people said that too. And then I went to the vault, guys. Went to Tony's take from 6 years ago. Filmed outside when I was still living in the projects, right? And I was talking about the 5-year anniversary of the Xbox One reveal and how disastrous that was. This video is 6 years old. A lot of the shit I'm saying in that video is relevant today. Where are the fucking games? Hardware's not going to save you. I said this shit 6 years ago. And then for fun, I realized I did a Tony's take in my new place, 10-year anniversary of the Xbox One, where I basically said the situation hadn't fucking changed. Ain't that something?
They did have games. They just weren't good games.
They just weren't good games. Yeah. So it's like, it's amazing. So I basically called it a lost decade. And yeah, no, hardware is not going to save the fucking company, bro. Games will. And like I said this before, you need a string of good banger games to start to wash the stink off, you know? Because it's like, people talk about the Xbox tax. No, that shit is real. People see an Xbox game, they're going to have their doubts instantly. Oh, that's what it was. What really sparked us off was that game Midnight Shadow, whatever the fuck, some South of Midnight game coming to Xbox. And J-Shep says, I don't think this game's going to sell that well because nobody cares about Xbox. I agree. No one gives a fuck, you know? Maybe if they toss it on PlayStation, it'll have some. Isn't that sad? that you have to put your games on a competitor console for the shit to sell well. You know, it's crazy. Xbox, now 11 years, it's going to be 12 years when May comes around. 12 years of taking fucking L's, you know, ever since I reveal. I said this in the video. Ever since I revealed Xbox One right before E3, over, killed them instantly. They never recovered from that shit, you know? And the only guys hanging out with that are still hanging on to, you know, Team Green is dudes like Kuel. That's it. It's just old dudes. Nope, there are no young people playing Xbox. Nobody gives a fuck, you know? Let's just be honest. And if you're a guy like me, okay, why do I need an Xbox for? I got a PC right here. You know, that's how I played Indiana Jones. You know, in the few Xbox games that actually interest me, that's the other problem. There's not a lot of games that interest people, you know. And then the other games that do have interest, they fucking just peter out or bomb. Look at fucking Starfield. That was supposed to be the game that was supposed to sell an Xbox. Didn't do shit, you know. What's the other one? Halo Infinite. That was supposed to be the savior of Xbox. Our homeboy Paris Lilly said the same thing. Everything rides on this game. The game fucking tanked. You know, it didn't
bad.
Do nothing.
It was a bad game.
Yeah. But Xbox is a better system? No, it's not. No, it's not. Because there's no fucking games to play on it. You know? Some fucking Xbox Game Pass bullshit that's like years old. No one cares.
It doesn't. You know? It doesn't matter. Previously, you know, in this generation, the Xbox was also the considerably more powerful console. Right?
Yeah. By the way.
And even
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Even that wasn't enough for it to do it. Like, granted, you see those comparisons, like, oh, it runs a little bit better on the Xbox. It runs in, you know, better resolutions and all that sort of stuff, you know. But it's, again, it's like they even that, like, it's like, what is it? If your power doesn't sell, if you don't have anything to play on it.
Exactly. Kuel says, if you have a PC and Xbox, it's the best combo. Why? The Xbox is irrelevant. If you have a PC, you don't need an Xbox. Dude, I did not buy an Xbox this generation. And you know what I've been missing? Nothing, because it's all on PC, bro. You know? I even had Game Pass, and I stopped subscribing to it because there's no fucking games I care about. It's all bullshit, bro. You know?
I mean, like, the thing about it is it's like, unless you're the type of person that wants to, you know, obviously don't want to mess with all the PC stuff. Like, there are definitely people out there that don't want to care. They don't care for any of that stuff. They just want something simple. Like, hey, just walk over to the television and you put the game in or buy the game on the thing and you're good. And they think that's, you can't discount those people. But as the same as we said earlier, those, you're not attracting new people to it. Like, you have your diehards and that's about it. Your diehards are, you know, the people that are still subscribed to Game Pass, the diehards that still have the console, but otherwise most people are on PlayStation.
And here's the thing though, when it comes to that too, the diehards, a lot of people that are on my list are older guys. They're like us. Yep. They're in their 40s.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's no desire to restart that collection on another platform. It's not even if, like, even if they have better games, like, I'm just here. I got all my shit here. All my old friends are still here. So I'll just ride this out. And that's it. You know, that's,
dude's hanging out on the Titanic right now, you know?
That's it. They're riding it.
Yeah, Xbox. And again, you're seeing all the moves now. Phil Spencer already conceded the console war. He said we lost. You know, he said that already, you know, so, and he says, we're not trying to compete. It's over, you know, and he goes, if our games sell better on PlayStation, let it, so be it. You know, they are, again, like we've been talking about, Xbox is a third party company. They just haven't admitted it yet. You know, that's all it is. All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. Good show. Adam, what's going on, man, with the plugins? What you got?
Yeah, I got another episode of Reacher, episode 7 from season 3, LA Story. That's out over on the Coalition's YouTube. That's on Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. Just type in Reacher. Thankfully, we're still number one on all that. So if you just type in Reacher, we pop up. It's myself and Lawrence from Punk with Toys. So we're having a good time, and we have other plans for some other stuff, which will be great. And we'll make that announcement not this week coming, because then there's only 8 episodes of this season. But after that, we plan on doing a live stream, which we've been promoting to talk about, you know, get a quick rundown of the season and what we know coming forward, and then some of our other projects that we plan on covering. But yeah, it's been great. And then also Rich and Gary, and I think Dana's part of that. I know her health and stuff, but she's still part of it. They've been covering that other show. What was it? I'm blanking on the name. I was just going to say it, and then I'm blanking. I'm seeing on it. Oh, man. What's that show that they've been covering?
Power?
Not Power. There you go. I was like, shoot, it's so easy. There's one word. Yeah, it's Power. They've been covering that. So that's another one. Of course, you guys, the Invincible's over, right?
Yep, that was over.
That's
yep.
It. All right, good. So I'm all up to date on that. That was a wild ending. All that.
That was a wild ending for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it. And then reviews. You know, we got a bunch of stuff. We talked about Assassin's Creed Shadow. Rich did that. He posted up there. He liked it. I did my WWE 2K25. That's posted. I didn't like it. We covered stuff. So go ahead, check us out. Coalition.com, Coalition YouTube, and, you know, all the other platforms. So,
yeah. Dio, you're thinking of Powers. Not that's the PlayStation that was a different show. Yeah, different show. Manny, what you got?
Well, I have. Let's see if it'll stay still working. Well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 7, covered by Kari Randolph and myself, which is out on the streets. 8 is coming really soon. That's the Leonardo cover, and also coming next week will be Naruto and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Naruto. So we still got a few more of these coming up until the end of till the summer. And yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Like Adam said, Invincible is over, but go check out the podcast. Good stuff. It's Invincible, bro. That's all I'm gonna say. Invincible. But yeah, no, that episode that we filmed, the podcast was really good. Lots of fun. May I have one? Wait, what happened? Manny, a question for you from Reggie. He wants to know if he can have one of those with your autograph.
They don't send me any. They only send me one.
So yeah, that's
you're going to have to go to the store.
Yeah. Buy a copy and send it to Manny, and then he'll sign it and send it back to you.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah. You can do it that way. But yeah, they don't. Comic companies are really cheap. And they back in the day, they used to send you a box. Nowadays, they just barely send you anything.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
By the way, I'm not being facetious when I say that, Reggie. Like, Manny has done that. Like, you know, if you send him something, he will sign it and send it back, you know? Kuel wants to know what happened on Twitter. Yeah, quick, I fell for a fucking scam, and I finally got my account back. I'm very happy about that, but it was some bullshit. Just be careful. Don't trust anybody, you know? We may stream Monster Hunter again this weekend. We'll see what happens. If it happens, it may be Saturday, but maybe a little later, because being real, I'm going to go to Barcade on Saturday, hang out with Jeffrey. It's been a while. I had to actually kind of tell Jeffrey, like, yo, for the next month, I'm doing Invincible on Saturday, so I can't hang out. But yeah, so I'm going to hang out after this week that I had with all that Twitter drama, bro. I need a drink, you know? But yeah, if we stream, it'll probably be Saturday, but we'll see. Maybe tomorrow night, Friday, we could do something. Because I know, Manny, you still haven't gotten to credits yet, right? At least.
No, I haven't gotten to credits. But yeah, from what you guys tell me, I'm pretty damn close.
You're close. And then there's still more after the credits. So basically, there's still stuff to do because I already complete everything. But if I can help Chris and Manny out, that is more fun for us, you know? Although I think I will whip out the big character now, my main character that's all super beefy. Is Manny coming to Anime New York this year?
That remains to be seen. Anime NYC has they've released all of their, you know, the registration, and I did put the registration in, but it's all on them, you know, as to whether I have a table or not. So. The surefire things I can tell you is I will be at MGS Con in California, which is coming in August. So I'll be there for that one. It's a 1-day event out there in Calgary, California, which is crazy.
Manny said that. I was like, you going to Canada? You know?
Oh yeah, there's Calgary, California. So it's And then I will be at CT2
coming
this on the 11th of April. So 11th to the 13th. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And hopefully, if registration opens,
hopefully if registration opens for Evo, looking for Evo. Speaking of Calgary, I did apply to the Calgary Comic-Con up in Canada, because I do have a couple of friends that live up there. So I figured I'd, double up and hang out with a buddy. But I haven't gotten anything about that. So they're probably like, it's probably too late. So, I'm trying to do a little bit more conventions. Somebody said something about MegaCon in Florida. We'll see, because again, like a lot of the way these shows work is that you got to do it early in the year. You got to do it like January, March, January and February, and that's when they start doing up all these things. So we'll see.
Good stuff. All right, to start wrapping up here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
Hey, people.
All right, guys, you already know. Later.